Hey, everybody, welcome to the Charlie Kirk Show. Andrew Colvett here, joined by Charlie Kirk and Blake Neff. Charlie is very much the leader of this hour, but I'm doing the intros because he had to run off to a university campus in North Carolina, East Carolina. So, without further ado, we talk about the garbage controversy. Joe Biden steps in it yet again in a cataclysmic event for the Biden campaign, completely derailing their narrative. You're not going to want to miss it. We have all the tape, all the breakdown, all the spin from the left. It's getting insane. If you enjoy what you hear on this show, if this program, if this team means something to you, please consider supporting us at members.charliekirk.com. That's members.charliekirk.com, where you get exclusive access to content that we provide just for you guys. It's just for our members. And you also get to be a part of our Friday shows where you get to call in and ask questions live on air and so much more. Members.charliekirk.com. Please consider joining today. Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Noble Gold Investments is the official gold sponsor of the Charlie Kirk Show, a company that specializes in gold IRAs and physical delivery of precious metals. Learn how you could protect your wealth with Noble Gold Investments at NobleGoldInvestments.com. That is NobleGoldInvestments.com. It's where I buy all of my gold. Go to NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Let's see who is on. I believe we have Andrew and Blake. Is that correct? Helping me go through this. I'm only doing the first hour here before I go on campus. And both you guys are being kind enough to help make sure the voice holds till election day. That is the question. Is, you know, we're asking the question, will the Dem firewall hold in Pennsylvania? Will the firewall hold in Nevada? Will Charlie Kirk's voice hold out to the election? Andrew, I want to start with you. Andrew, can you guide the audience through exactly, I know we have tape, this whole garbage gate started with a bad joke in Madison Square Garden that, of course, the Democrats went all in on as their closing message. Their closing message was rhetorical-based and narrative-based, not policy-based. And now it is turning into a major liability for them. Andrew, walk us through it.
Yeah, I mean, the irony here is thick, Charlie. I mean, you got to go back. We had Tony Hinchcliffe, the comedian that Trump says he doesn't even know who he is, 5 hours before Trump even entered Madison Square Garden. At that rally, he made an off-color joke about Puerto Ricans and trash and all of these things. And that became the news story for like 48 hours, maybe a little bit longer. The media was hyperventilating about it. The Kamala campaign was saying, we've seized momentum. We have this. That we're really going to see some movement with Puerto Ricans in Allentown and this sort of thing. And then, like a thief in the night, Joe Biden puts his foot in his mouth on a Zoom call while Kamala Harris is supposedly making her closing argument at the mall in Washington, D.C. So he's counter-programming the vice president and to a devastating effect and says that the only garbage that he sees are Trump supporters. And, I mean, it's worth playing back the clip because the spin afterwards, Charlie, has been something, I would say it's historic. The spin has been historic. We've got some news outlets claiming that it was an apostrophe S, so it was Trump supporters garbage, not calling them garbage. We have other people calling it a result of Joe Biden's stutter. This is truly something to see, and I think we have to play the clip and let people make up their own mind here, because it's unfortunately for Joe Biden.
It's so obvious. This is worse than deplorables. And I want to say this. I said this on Megyn Kelly's show. And Blake, the historian, I'm going to quiz you. You ready, Blake? Blake.
What's up?
Has there ever been a moment in American history where a president has said this about the American population that he is currently tasked to govern? In fact, let me be more specific. Even during the Civil War, did Abraham Lincoln talk about the people of the Confederacy as trash, garbage, vermin, or whatever vernacular of the day.
Definitely not. I think it is actually unprecedented, Charlie. It's a really jarring thing. I feel like our politicians have gotten worse at politics, and Trump is this throwback entirely because he'll actually come out and just he's so confident. He's just like, yeah, of course, all the American people are great. They all are going to totally vote for me. And, you know, that's what drives so much of what makes Trump appealing. Yeah, he's going to do the rally in Madison Square Garden. He's going to do the rally in California. He's going to give his speeches where, you know, appealing directly to Black Americans. He's going to post the Cinco de Mayo photo of him with the taco bowl where he's like, I love Hispanics. And he actually has this like very overflowing kind of love for all Americans. And he thinks they'll all vote for him. So it's like unthinkable that he would do this. But Democrats have taken a very different attitude. I mean, it's kind of no surprise. This is the party whose idea of a political agenda is to replace the people who don't vote for them. So why would they not kind of have this strong distaste for anyone who doesn't get on board with the platform? And that's a historical practice of the left, really. Jack Posoba could tell you a lot about that.
I just want to reiterate this. Even during the Civil War, and I did some a little digging, and I'm not a Civil War historian by any means. I actually know it rather poorly versus other things. I don't even think Abraham Lincoln talked about the Confederacy this way.
One of Lincoln's
favorite
songs.
In fact, I think
songs,
it was with Lament, he said.
One of his favorite songs was Dixie, which was that, you know, the kind of anthem. It's not really the anthem, but kind of the theme song of the South. He actually had a lot of, you know, appreciation for the South. And of course, the narrative was always part of the Civil War is that they were trying to save like the ordinary people of the South because, you know, it was a tyrannical slaveholder regime and all of that. Yeah, you didn't have this whole like, yeah, I don't think there's ever a line where Lincoln, you know, I don't think that's part of the Gettysburg Address where he says, you know, yeah, we're here because half the country was just, you know, some garbage people. Not in the speech.
No, never. All right, let's play it. Let's play it here. This is Joe Biden calling you garbage. And I hope you guys tell all of your friends, this is the time for the greatest turnout in American history. Joe Biden has declared war on you. He hates you. Play cut 50.
I don't know the Puerto Rican that I know, or Puerto Rico where I'm in my home state of Delaware. They're good, decent, honorable people. The only garbage I see floating out there is his supporters. His demonization is seen as unconscionable, and it's un-American.
His stutter.
That's bad. That's bad, guys. Andrew or Blake, you guys take it.
Yeah, I want to make a note about this Lincoln comparison, Charlie. You bring up the Civil War. And, I mean, you only have to look back to Lincoln's second inaugural address, the way he talks about people of the South. It says, neither party expected for the war the magnitude or the duration which it has already attained. Neither anticipated that the cause of conflict might cease, whether even before the conflict itself should cease. Each looked for an easier triumph and a result less fundamental and astounding. Both read the same Bible and pray to the same God, and each invokes his aid against the other. I mean, you know, and he's talking about with malice towards none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right. To Blake's point, I mean, this was a time of statesmen that had this lofty rhetoric, but the appeals to the Almighty, and to see how far we've fallen with somebody like Joe Biden. And then on top of that, to see the punditry class panic and spin and try and say, well, it was a stutter. Oh, it was an apostrophe S. When all of that is very clear, if you play the tape back, Charlie, I mean, this was a cataclysmic moment for the Kamala Harris campaign. Make no mistake. And I'm not necessarily saying it's going to move votes. But what I will say is that it will motivate our side to get out to vote. And the second thing I will say is that remember the moment. This is when Kamala Harris and the media establishment were saying that this joke by Tony Hinchcliffe was going to motivate their base. And it was going to be this kind of spring into the last week. Charlie, nobody can tell me a line from Kamala Harris's closing argument because this has completely overshadowed the news cycle.
That's right. All right, everybody, you have to go vote now. Tell me and send me your stories of voting early. I love reading them live on air here. When you go take new people to go vote, when you go get people to go vote early, Right here. Charlie, our county opened early voting. My wife and I waited for 2.5 hours. I voted yesterday and waited 2 hours. The polling people said that it was just a surge of red. Love it. Keep up the great work. That's amazing. Charlie, my church had a big prayer service telling everyone to go vote. At least 20-plus people decided they're going to go vote now. It's 20-plus new votes for swing voters in Georgia. We're not done. We have to stay alert. It ain't over till it's over. God bless you guys. Find new voters right now. Take out your phone and text new voters. Say, have you voted? Have you voted? Have you voted? Go nuts. Go crazy. Joe Biden thinks you are garbage. Kamala Harris thinks you are garbage. They think you are trash, vermin, worthy of elimination. Go displace them from power. Make it too big to rig.
Are you ready to lose weight but not sure where to start? I understand. I was right where you are 2 years ago. Let me tell you why I chose the PhD Weight Loss and Nutrition Program. First, Dr. Ashley Lucas has her PhD in chronic disease and sports nutrition. Her program is based on years of research and is science-based. Second, the PhD program starts in nutrition. There is so much more. They know that 90% of permanent change comes from the mind, and they work on eliminating the reason you gain this weight in the first place. There's no shortcuts, pills, or injections, just solid, science-based nutrition and behavior change. And finally, probably most importantly, I lost 30 pounds. Look, they're amazing. If you want to lose weight, you got to go to myphdweightloss.com. I was just texting with Dr. Ashley Lucas today. If you're ready to lose weight for the last time, call 864-644-1900. Go online at myphdweightloss.com. Do what I did and what hundreds of my listeners have done and call today, 864-644-1900. I recommend their program. Dr. Ashley Lucas has her PhD in chronic disease and sports nutrition. Her program is based on years of research and is science-based. Second, the PhD program starts in nutrition, but it's so much more. Go to myphdweightloss.com, myphdweightloss.com. Call 864-644-1900. I lost over 30 pounds. Dr. Ashley Lucas, great American. Check it out, myphdweightloss.com.
Blake, you were going to make a comment about how this has overshadowed the ellipse.
Yeah, well, I just think what's really amazing is when the clip first dropped, I kind of assumed either it could just go completely not covered, or that if it came up at all, the press could really aggressively spin it, which we've seen before. You know, you can see the headlines like Republicans draw false equivalency between Biden misstate, like Biden misspeaking and hateful Trump rally remarks, something like that. But instead, what really surprised me was, one, CNN and the rest talked a lot about the garbage comment, and two, that there was some pretty aggressive, like some people seem to think it mattered. There was some pretty aggressive criticism of it. I think all of us were really astonished when we saw Governor Shapiro of Pennsylvania kind of, he obviously doesn't agree with it, but he even seemed to essentially attack Biden over it. He was like, I would never do this. I think the line you said, Charlie, was like he's beginning his own campaign for the 2028 nomination. And it's like it's what we've seen a lot of this cycle, which is there's far less, you know, lockstep narrative control over everything. And there's a lot more on the left of people ready to sort of stick the knife into Kamala, stick it into Biden, you know, make sure that they're not caught on the sinking ship if this campaign ends up getting beaten really badly.
Andrew, I also want to talk about Josh Shapiro here, but I mean, Andrew, this was supposed to be their closing argument. This was supposed to be the night where she made her finale. Instead, she has to play defense about how her boss and her mentor think that we are garbage worthy of disposal.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Charlie. Earlier I said I didn't hear one line from it, but getting ready for the show this morning, I actually looked up that Kamala, part of her closing argument that nobody even heard about, was that she is now promising to deport people that are here illegally. So that was like a shocking thing for her to say. She's going to remove people that shouldn't be here. And if you know anything about Kamala Harris's history on the subject, where she has attacked ICE, talked about disbanding ICE, where she doesn't want to call anybody illegal. She's advocated for transgender surgeries for migrants in detention. All of these crazy things when it comes to immigration. All of a sudden, her closing argument that, as you mentioned, got overshadowed, she's now moving so far to the middle, even on trying to posture herself as kind of quasi-right when it comes to immigration, because she knows how terrible that issue is for her. This night couldn't have gone any worse for her. This night couldn't have gone any worse for her. And then next thing we know, she's on a tarmac at Joint Base Andrews. And she's having to answer multiple questions in a string out of what does she make for this garbage comment. And she's getting snippy at reporters. She's trying to avoid the question, trying to say she's going to, you know, govern for all Americans, even if they don't vote for her. The narrative shift here from just a pure PR standpoint is cataclysmic, because she was trying to sort of put a foot in the, you know, trying to find a foothold from a narrative standpoint after the McDonald's triumph for Trump, after the MSG triumph, after all of the campaign success that Trump has been having in recent weeks, this momentum surge. She lost it big time. And like, so let me just say that again. Last night could not have gone any worse for Kamala Harris.
Yeah, and Blake, do you want to comment on that? Is that if we're talking about momentum narrative shift, let's be honest, like after MSG, it was a little bit annoying. I wouldn't say it was detrimental, but we were like, oh boy, are we really going to have to talk about this comedian? Turns out this comedian forced Joe Biden then all of a sudden to give us what is could not be a better surge to motivate our base going into Tuesday.
Yeah, I think a lot of this at this point is all just psychological back and forth. So to the extent people felt dispirited over any coverage of MSG stuff, it's great to turn the tide. I do suspect on the margins, like, okay, if you're a super marginal swing voter who's on the fence about voting at all and on the fence about who to vote for, you're probably not going to notice this story, but it is very good to keep our side focused, to keep our side keyed in, to make sure that we're not getting too shaky or distracted or downbeat. Voting is kind of a very, it's like a battle, you know, it's all about morale. It's about who really is rah-rah to the max and ready to stay committed, because that's how you get the maximum amount of turnout. And to the extent Joe Biden is helping us do that, we're grateful to him. And Joe Biden's done that for us a few times. Remember, he wore the MAGA hat about a month ago, and he's said some other interesting things. So, you know, we're not beating the rumors that maybe Joe Biden kind of, he maybe has his own private thoughts about how he wants this election to go.
Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. 4 years of crushing interest rates, runaway inflation, and reckless government spending. And who's paying the price? You. You've got bills stacking up, debt collectors on your back, and you can barely put food on the table. Done with Debt is your way out. They've developed new aggressive strategies designed to get you out of debt permanently without bankruptcy and without loans. Done with Debt stands between you and your bill collectors. They go head-to-head with your creditors, getting balances reduced, interest rates slashed, and penalties stopped. They create a plan designed to end your debt fast and put more cash in your pocket every month. And right now, Done with Debt is accepting new clients, but you need to act fast, and some credit relief programs expire, and you don't want to miss out. Before you even make another payment, visit donewithdebt.com or visit 888-322-1054 right now. Talk with one of the debt relief strategists for free. Go to donewithdebt.com. That is donewithdebt.com, or call 888-322-1054 right now. Talk with one of your debt relief strategists for free. Donewithdebt.com. That is donewithdebt.com.
Andrew, you have a thought here you want to share about Josh Shapiro.
And the Josh Shapiro thing, I think it's super fascinating. Let's go ahead and play this for everybody, 57, and then I'll provide commentary on the other side.
Governor, first off, just what's your response to that comment from President Biden, where it sounds like he's calling Trump supporters there garbage?
Yeah, look, I had not heard that until now, Caitlin, so I'm kind of giving you my fresh reaction to it. I would never insult the good people of Pennsylvania or any Americans, even if they chose to support a candidate that I didn't.
Yeah, so I actually have three thoughts. First of all, is the obvious that the Democrats are now forced to confront this. To Blake's point, a little surprising that CNN went so full tilt into this, and they did this for hours last night, which, you know, kudos, I suppose. Secondly, Charlie, when you have a weak presidential campaign or a weak campaign in general, your partisans, your spokespeople, your surrogates, they're never going to bail on you out in the open. It's much more sort of covert, right? Where they need plausible deniability. And what this says to me is that Josh Shapiro, one, got caught flat-footed. This thing came out of nowhere for Democrats last night. But two, he wasn't willing to fully, full-throatedly endorse or support or back up his team. He was making an exit plan for himself. What that tells me, Charlie, is that, yeah, he wants to run for president himself, right? In the next cycle. But it means that he's seeing the underlying weakness of the Kamala Harris campaign. And he's saying, it's not me. I had nothing to do with this. Don't blame me for this.
Not only that, you didn't choose me as vice president.
Exactly. Well, and that's another fascinating angle here, Charlie. I mean, a lot of people are looking at this saying I think Vivek posted something like this, but he's not the only one, that this is like, this is the October surprise in a really organic way that Democrats really didn't see coming. And it's actually because Joe Biden is secretly trying to sabotage the Harris-Waltz campaign. And we've seen indications of this in the past because he...
So...
Yeah, well, let me make a case for it, though.
Maybe... Please, go ahead. I am an open jury. I'm going to be more Blake on this, but go ahead.
No, listen. I do not think that Trump or that Joe Biden likes Donald Trump. I don't think that. But what I do see is there has been a constant series of counter programming that has happened. What that tells me is he's bitter. That tells me that the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. And why don't they know what the left and right hands are doing? Because they're not communicating. The Harris-Waltz campaign wants to put him out to pasture. They want him gone, but he refuses to be gone because he's still the sitting president of the United States. And so he's bitter about being put on the JV team. He's bitter about not being the front of the ticket, top of the ticket. So there is a lot of mixed emotions, I think it's fair to say. And whether it's intentional or not, the ending result is that he's sabotaging them because he refused to do as he's told. Because he's been a good soldier his whole career, and he thinks he deserves more honor than what he's been given.
So, Blake, your thoughts on at least a bitter Joe Biden not totally being on board for this?
So, like, we've seen the reporting that he's actually asked to be involved in the campaign. He's wanted to do speeches. I think Axios or Politico even reported, like, they'd kept days open on his schedule where they're like, we can go, we can do a rally, and then the Harris campaign has... just not taking them up on it. It's a very bizarre passive aggressive thing, but whether he's bitter about it, I don't know. He's an older guy. I think we don't want to read too much into it. I do think there's sometimes a bias to see it all as like a big dramatic TV show. And I think Biden's an ambitious guy. I think he probably does understand that if Harris, like, overall, he does come out looking better if Harris wins than if she loses. If he wins, then it's he stepped aside at the right time. He made the handoff to his successor. He helped secure Democrat hegemony in Washington for a long time. Whereas if he loses, yeah, he does get to say, I told you so, I would have won. But the dominant narrative is going to be old man Joe stuck around too long, screwed it up, saddled us with his terrible vice president, and like wrecked the party. So I don't think he's like, and I definitely don't think he's intentionally sabotaging Harris or like doing these things just to screw her over. But really what we're seeing is the reason that Biden got replaced in the first place, which is he's not good at thinking on his feet anymore. He's going to say bad and embarrassing stuff. Remember, they got rid of him because he had to mumble his way through a debate. And what was he doing last night? He was mumbling his way through a sensitive topic, said something dumb, and he damaged the campaign.
Andrew, it really is kind of a situation that they're reaping what they gave us. They gave us a fake president and a fake candidate. And isn't it just delightfully ironic a week out that the president they force fed us is now severely damaging their campaign as he calls us all garbage?
No, you made this point on Megyn Kelly's show earlier, Charlie. I thought it was so well made. They had this coming. They deserve every ounce of this. Why? Because they basically ousted the sitting president, mid-cycle, and replaced him with Kamala Harris, who didn't receive a single primary vote. As a matter of fact, she is a historically bad primary candidate herself who couldn't even make it past 2019 when she ran against Joe Biden. Joe Biden himself, if you go back even further, stayed in his basement. And they basically use fear-mongering, COVID, mass mail-in ballots, lax signature verifications, and so much more. $400 million to the Center for Tech and Civic Life, or whatever that Zuckerberg-funded group was, Tech and Civic Life. They force this person on the United States population. It's 100% true. Meanwhile, you have Donald Trump, who's been going through the gauntlet for 9 years, has faced down 18 other candidates on the stage, you know, with him in 2015, 2016, had to get through actually another rough primary season against DeSantis and some others this time around, tried, tested, and proven true, come out the other side, way more disciplined, way more battle-tested, and, you know, to your point, Charlie, they just simply had it coming. And now they got caught flat-footed, and they don't know what to say, and their surrogates are all in disarray. CNN's throwing them under the bus. It's a comeuppance that is very delightful. Absolutely.
Let's play another piece of tape here. Let's go to Kamala Harris trying to spin her way out of it. Let's play cut 51.
Type of leader I intend to be.
President Biden took this comment last night about garbage.
Listen, I think that, first of all, he clarified his comments, but let me be clear. I strongly disagree with any criticism of people based on who they vote for. You heard my speech last night and continuously throughout my career. I believe that the work that I do is about representing all the people, whether they support me or not. And as president of the United States, I will be a president for all Americans, whether you vote for me or not. That is my responsibility, and that's the kind of work that I've done my entire career, and I take it very seriously.
Blake, I mean, this is just pure propaganda at this point.
Yeah, I'm looking at this Washington Post headline that Andrew shared. White House Trump campaign clash over whether Biden called Trump supporters garbage. Okay, you can say Biden had to walk it back. You could say whether he, you know, maybe misspoke, but he literally did say Trump supporters are garbage. He didn't stutter through it. It's galling. And you know, I think it's great because, you know, the Washington Post is in meltdown because Jeff Bezos said that they're not allowed to endorse Kamala and they're freaking out. And he can't clean house there soon enough. It feels weird to say that I love Jeff Bezos right now, but I hope he blows up the Washington Post for this sort of thing. But it's entertaining how much, like, I guess, with forcing Biden out in the first place, that you're seeing such different reactions from the press, where you have some people scrambling to the usual line of full covering fire for whatever the Democrats have done. And then you also have the people breaking ranks who are saying, I'm not going to be the one stuck on, you know, this sinking ship. I'm going to get in the lifeboat and be ready for 2028, be ready for pointing the fingers. I'm going to be the one who can credibly say, oh, I warned that this was all going to go bad. They should have taken my advice. And I think it's good that we're seeing that. It's a reason to be optimistic for the race with 1 week to go, 6 days to go.
Let's play. We have it right here. It's from CNN. Let's play cut 52.
Tonight, there's new reporting about Joe Biden and a moment that explains why things are the way that they are. Sources tell CNN that the president is in do no harm mode, stapling himself to the bench at the direction of the Harris campaign. Well, even from the White House, he may have done some pretty significant harm in the final week of the campaign. That was a moment, and not a moment that the Harris campaign wanted. I want to just read, this is Biden on X trying to clarify all of this. He says, earlier today, I referenced to the hateful rhetoric about Puerto Rico spewed by Trump supporters at his Madison Square Garden rally as garbage, which is the only word I can think of to describe it. His demonization of Latinos is unconscionable. That's all I meant to say.
Andrew, about 30 seconds, your reaction.
Yeah, my reaction is that this is what they're now talking about. They're not talking about how Trump is Hitler. They're not talking about a Nazi rally, a supposed Nazi rally. They're not talking about Tony Hinchcliffe. They're talking about Joe Biden calling 80 million people that he's supposed to be governing garbage. That is the story.
Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. A large retail store just canceled the huge order, leaving MyPillow with a ton of extra pillows. But you know what? That's their loss in your game. For the first time ever, you can get a standard classic MyPillow for wholesale prices, only $14.88. But it gets better. For a limited time, they're offering their entire classic collection at wholesale prices. Get queen-size MyPillows for just $18.88. Upgrade to a king for only a dollar more. Get the body pillows for $29.88 and multi-use MyPillows for only $9.88. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code Kirk, or call 800-875-0425 to take advantage of wholesale pricing for the first time ever. On top of that, receive free shipping on orders over $75. They've never been offered this low before. There are limited quantities at this price, so the limit is 10. Once they're gone, they are gone. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-875-0425. Use promo code Kirk to get the standard MyPillow for only $14.88, the lowest price ever. That is MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk.
I want to read an email here, and then, Andrew, I want to just riff on the early voting in Nevada, Andrew. So can you get ready for that, Andrew? Can you pull up those numbers?
Yep.
I'm going to just throw it to you because if we win Nevada, it's all because of producer Andrew. You know that, right? He has been calling Nevada for we used to mock him. Is it Nevada or Nevada? Do I say it right, Andrew?
Nevada. You always say it right. You're good. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. I was going to say people say Nevada. It never made any sense to me.
Say just, Nevada.
Anyway, Lisa
or Andrew
from Phoenix.
Will get Matta.
I like that. Lisa from Phoenix says, out of my five like-minded coworkers, I have chased them all. Three put their ballots in drop boxes, plus two of their significant others did the same, five total. Two voted in person last Friday. They rode together, seven total. I am harassing all the remainders. Guys, this is what it's all about. So Lisa just became a seven times force multiplier. That's what you got to do. You got to take inventory of your circle. Who in your circle needs to vote for Donald Trump? Get them to vote. Hold them accountable. Make sure those ballot boxes, those ballots are in the boxes. All right, Andrew, something goofy is going on is it the Silver State? Is that what Nevada is? Is Nevada
oh, yeah.
the Silver,
Silver
State?
Silver State. Silver State. Yes, sir.
That was right. I have not called it that in quite some time. What's going on in the Silver State, Andrew?
Well, what's going on, Charlie, is we have what we're calling a rural tsunami. I've often said that the rurals were not coming out the way that they should in Nevada. There's a lot. Those are deep, deep red. That's my people. It's where my family has been ranching since the turn of the last century. I know these people very well. They are conservative to their core. But also, I went to high school in Washoe County, which now has a little bit of a firewall of its own, 6,000 plus Republican advantage in Washoe. And in Clark County, they are not getting the mail-ins that they need. The in-person early voters are crushing it, which tend to be Republicans. So all in all, Charlie, in Nevada, we have breaking news this morning, the early voting numbers, Republicans 306,905, to Democrats 264,109. That's a net difference of 42,796 for the Republicans. Let me say that again, 42,796 or 5.5 points spread. And why this is significant, Charlie, is that we've got a lot of the vote in. There's already a ton of the vote in Nevada that has already come in, and the Democrats are losing time to make up this delta. Now, some of them are going to say, oh, don't worry, we're going to have a late surge in Democrats. I'm not seeing the evidence. Where has the surge been?
It's possible, but I just want to, Blake, in order, they're going to need to massively change their behavior ahead of Election Day, right, Blake? I mean, just to play devil's advocate here, I mean, they're down, for example, in North Carolina, they're down 300,000 mail votes, Democrats are. So, I mean, that's a huge delta to overcome. Blake, what am I missing?
Yeah, so I've been following, I feel like, a good example for what can be going on in other states, I follow Ralston's blog. I can't remember if it's Joe Ralston or John Ralston, but Ralston's blog on the Nevada vote, because he has very detailed numbers on what's going on in that state. And one of the things you can see is, the share of votes that have come in versus registered votes that are still outstanding. And I think the Democrat narrative is going to be, okay, yeah, in prior elections, the day of vote leaned Republican because Republicans were doing their whole, we have to vote on election day, early vote is bad. Now Republicans have pivoted towards voting early. So what's going to be left? Well, what's going to be left, they think, is just young voters, because young voters don't seem to like voting early as much. They're, they're nice and active, so they can go in. And so what we might see is they're going to say, we'll see tons of young liberal voters go to the polls on election day. You won't see the conservatives, so it will be a blue wave on election day. And we'll see if they're correct.
Well, look, the data shows there's a lot of Republican voters left. So if we even offset them in some of these states, if you have an early voting advantage and you tie in election day, well, you can do the math, right? So we'll see. We got to do the work, get our people out.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Talk to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.